Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of the Jolly Heretic. Now, I know how you're expecting me to begin this episode. I imagine you're expecting something like this. The heavy sex practice called anal leaking, where the man's anus is leaked like ice cream. And even the poo-poo comes out, they eat the poo-poo. But I won't be doing that, because it's a very serious subject, and there's absolutely no reason why we should begin it in this way. And now that we are coming to the end of Sex Week at the Jolly Heretic, the one practice that you have asked me to look into the evolutionary psychology of is anal lingus, or rimming. And that is what I have attempted to do. Now, to my surprise, I can find no encyclopedia article on this. I can find no research that looks into the correlates of engaging in it. In fact, there really doesn't seem to be any research into the evolutionary psychology of rimming whatsoever. So I thought that's quite interesting. It's something which needs to be done, and perhaps I shall research an encyclopedia article on it. So watch this space. But anyway, so anal lingus, sometimes spelled anil lingus, because it comes from the Richard Kraft Ebbing. He was the one that first kind of wrote about it in his book Psychosexualis. So it's spelled in the German way, is understood to be the kissing, licking and sucking of the anus. Now, obviously, these kinds of, as Gordon Gallup has pointed out, these kinds of practices, whether it's anal lingus, whether it's fellatio, whether it's cunnilingus, whatever, were quite rare until relatively recently in the West, because people just weren't clean. People didn't bathe. And of course, they talk about them in the Kama Sutra, but people were much cleaner then. But we went through a long phase in Western countries of not being very clean at all. And so people would of course not want to engage in such practices as this. They would be revolting. But of course now we are much cleaner. Most people will wash every day, and so that's the first, I guess, reason why they've become more prominent. Secondly, I guess the dangers of such practices with all kinds of diseases becoming endemic. In the 19th century, it would have brought out a strong sense of disgust and a strong sense of being very, very careful around other people's bodies and what you do with them and so forth. And so any practices that might previously have been engaged in would have been strongly culturally discouraged, and just discouraged for basic reasons of mortality salience and this making you high in disgust towards other people. But now we have seen in the last certainly 70 years or so a flourishing of all of these kinds of practices, and one of them is anal lingus. So what are the reasons for anal lingus? Well, the first, in terms of the person that receives anal lingus, is that the anus is an erogenous zone. The anus has all kinds of nerve endings in it, which is why if people get hemorrhoids, they can be so extraordinarily painful, because the anus is an extremely sensitive area of the body. Both homosexual males, lesbians, and to a limited extent heterosexuals, engage in anal lingus for this reason. It is pleasurable to have the anus stimulated because of the high numbers of nerve endings in the anus. Now, obviously, it's not a very healthy practice. You have to be very, very, the person's anus has to be very, very clean for you to safely engage in this practice. From feces, you can get all kinds of stuff. You can get shigellosis. You can get basically polio. You can get parasites. You can get hepatitis A, B, and C. You can get gonorrhea and other sexually transmitted diseases. Shigellosis, by the way, causes dysentery. So it's a very unsafe practice in prison, but of course it will make the partner feel pleasure. It will make the partner feel happy, and so it will create a sort of bonding. And so therefore that might be a reason why it might be engaged in. As I understand it, in prison, tossing the salad, as it's known, is a way of paying back favours and so forth to a dominant prisoner. So that's the first half of it. It simply causes pleasure to the recipient. The second, and this is rather more speculative, but it is certainly true that sebaceous glands on the body release the natural scent, the natural odor, that, well, should we say even pheromones, although some people argue that it's not 100% certain that humans even produce pheromones, but they release the natural scent of the human. And there are certain areas on the skin, by the ears, by the armpits, and also in the anal area, the circumanal area, that are very high in these sebaceous glands and therefore release the natural scent, the unique scent of the individual in question. And research has shown that a great deal can be, although, I mean, dogs, 30% of their brain is about decoding scent. With humans, it's only 5% of the brain. So our sense of smell and what we can do with it is nothing compared to a dog. But it does mean that we would be able to discern from another human's scent things that would be attractive to us, such as their genetic similarity to us, such as their level of genetic health, such as their gender, such as their fertility level, that sort of thing. And so you can completely see how, if you were wanting to understand the potential compatibility of a partner without having with yourself, or the potential fertility or whatever of a partner, then sniffing their anus and thus by extension anal lingus, so that they get something out of it as well, would be a way of doing that would be doable in a society where people increasingly are relatively clean. So assuming that person is anally clean and has wiped properly, then such an activity would cause you to be able to discern subconsciously a great deal of information about them and whether or not they were the right person for you. So that, I suspect, is the second dimension to anal lingus. I'm not going to talk about whether it correlates with sociosexuality or whether it correlates with life history strategy or anything like that, because I simply can't find the research. The research remains to be done. But that seems to be what's going on. And it makes sense if you compare it to what dogs do, where dogs will greet each other and they will sniff each other's bottoms, which will, of course, be relatively clean because the dog keeps its anus clean with its dog tongue. Around about the anus, there are these sebaceous glands which release information to other dogs from which they can tell whether they've met the dog before, how high the dog up is in the hierarchy, what sex the dog is, what status the dog is, what breed the dog is, all kinds of information that they will want to know about the other dog. Whether the dog's going to be a right laugh or not, whatever, they can find that out. And it seems to me we're so closely related to dogs that it would make sense that if we engage in an activity like this, which we evidently do, and other animals do it as well, primates or whatever do it as well, then it would make sense there'd be some sort of evolutionary reason for it. And all I can think of is, in light of, we know that the areas around the anus is sebaceous glands and releases this unique scent that is very important in terms of sexual arousal and in terms of being aware that the person is the right partner for you or is fertile or whatever. So I suspect that that's what it would be about. So I've answered this for you now. This is the thing you've been going on and on about. Do anal lingus next. Do anal lingus next. And you've been saying it partly as a joke, I think. But I have done this for you. I have looked into it. And those seem to be the evolutionary reasons for anal lingus. So I hope this has been of interest to you. And goodbye.
Hello, hello, hello! The Jolly Heretic is an online public house which meets on Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York, in which we discuss the kind of based, fearless science which is increasingly expunged from our woke, joke universities. If you would like to help the Jolly Heretic public house, and there are many ways you can do so, please, please, please become one of my patrons on Subscribestar. Also, if you want to, you can donate to the channel using Odyssey and Entropy, and you can also purchase Jolly Heretic merchandise, such as shirts and mugs. All of the links are in the description. Again, I'd be most violently grateful if you could assist the Jolly Heretic Public House. And I will see you all soon. And goodbye!